A scandal in the forensic industry had been erupting in Australia and overseas for a number of years now. Freelance author Drew Rook outlines it all in a book titled A Witness of Fact, The Peculiar Case of Chief Forensic Pathologist Colin Manock. The veracity of Colin Manock's work in forensic pathology is now under the microscope following rising concerns that he didn't have the expertise nor specialist knowledge in forensic pathology when in charge of South Australia's forensic pathology services from 1968 to 1995. An upsurge of calls for retrial of crime case settlements based on his forensic findings are now in the offing, some cases as far back as this period. Even judges in the Supreme Court are joining the calls for a closer review of these cases. Manock is now in his late 80s and long retired, but as author Drew Rook reveals in his book, there are too many questions about Manock's past from when he arrived from the United Kingdom to settle in South Australia. Racer's Edge L. Godley caught up with the author, Drew Rook.
So he wasn't qualified. What was the jobs that he did in the medical industry, in the medical field before he came to South Australia?
He did his medical degree. He was qualified on that front. The qualification that he lacked was the specialist qualification for forensic pathology. And after he completed his medical degree, he went through rotations in various hospitals in the UK, in various departments. And after that, he obtained a position at the University of Leeds in the Department of Forensic Pathology as a casual part-time lecturer at first, and later became a full-time lecturer in forensic pathology. And that was where he, I guess, first performed an autopsy and kind of first learnt the ropes as such. But that was the only training that he underwent there.
Okay, so he was performing autopsies as a teacher, as a lecturer, and he hadn't really had the qualifications to do it prior.
That's correct. He was essentially teaching and learning how to perform autopsies on the side.
That's pretty crazy.
It is especially when you consider the specialist knowledge that is required to perform a proper and thorough autopsy. And, you know, for instance, that requires very specialist microscopic examination of tissue samples, and in order to see whether there is anything strange within a tissue sample, you need to know, you know, the whole morphology of diseases and what disease in tissue sample looks like. And without that training, it means you could very easily miss something. Terry Pounder, who is a renowned international forensic pathologist, said that without that sort of training, you're basically performing autopsies with one arm and one eye.
What are the checks and balances for forensic reporting? You mentioned that there could be some implications globally.
The checks and balances now with forensic medicine are much more thorough than they were in years past. The implications for forensic science globally now, what this case of Manock highlights is a global problem with forensic science standards. In the field of forensic medicine, a lot of practices have been accepted as reliable and scientific, even though they have never been empirically tested. And when DNA became a, you know, common technology that was used, it led to a whole host of exonerations, which highlighted serious problems with methods of forensic science that had been used to convict in the past. And that's ultimately what led to reviews of forensic practices, which, as I said, were found to be wanting. And there is this reckoning happening internationally, as well as in Australia at the moment, with what to do about. There have been several high-profile judges in Australia who, in response to these reviews that have been conducted of forensic science, who have come out and said that they don't trust the system in Australia as it currently is, and there needs to be far more checks and balances in place now, even though the checks and balances that are in place now are much better than they once were, and even though the system of peer review is much better. You know, we have leading judges, we have leading forensic science, we have leading legal scholars all saying the same thing, that we still need significant improvements.
But is it only Australia?
No, it's not. This is a global issue. The reviews that I was referring to were conducted in the US, primarily looking at the US system. The methods that were reviewed there are the same methods that are used here. And there is a factor in the Australian context that actually makes things more concerning, which is that judges in Australia basically have much less of a gatekeeper role over the evidence in court than in other jurisdictions. And what that means is there is a greater risk in Australia that unreliable forensic evidence will be admitted into court in the first place, and then it's basically left up to a jury of lay people to decide the scientific validity or lack thereof of pieces of evidence that are admitted in court. And of course, the problem with that is that a jury is made up of lay people who are not scientific experts, and as has been shown, there is a, you know, bias towards people who appear before the courts and who are doctors and speak very confident about technical language. And so the risk is that that evidence, even if it is unreliable, may be accepted as truth. Judges do have some control, but the amount of control that they do have isn't sufficient at the moment.
Drew Rook there, speaking to Razor's Edge El Godley and ending that report. Rook's book, titled A Witness of Fact, The Peculiar Case of Chief Forensic Pathologist Colin Manock, has been shortlisted for the 2022 Ned Kelly Award for the Best True Crime.